Good morning. It's 7:22 a.m., 24 February 2017, a Friday morning in the snow. Yesterday was rain. Yeah. I was so wet. By the time I got home, I was soaked. My jacket was so wet, I had to hang it in the shower so it wouldn't drip all over the floor. Well, it still dripped all over the floor, but the floor was the tub, so that wasn't a big deal. This morning, it's light snow. They're predicting off and on through the day, light snow. It's sticking. It's been cold enough for the last 24 hours that it's actually sticking on sidewalks. There are places where it's got a little bit of ice underneath. You may hear me crunching. My footsteps crunching against the snow. Which is, to be fair, this is much more like February weather than the 75 degrees we had the other day. It'll probably be 75 again by Monday, I don't know. So yesterday wasn't the very important production powerhouse I was hoping it was going to be. You know, try again today. That's the nature of my burden. I'm sworn to carry a burden. Is that ADHD can get in the way of everything. And yesterday was one of those days. I got out early. I got back early. I got breakfast going. Lost the morning to distraction. Although, this is also where the timekeeping comes in. Because I was able to actually accomplish stuff yesterday. So when I get to the end of the day, feeling as if I hadn't done a damn thing, because what I hadn't done was work on the work in progress, I had checked off a few things early in the day. So when my ADHD just went into full flower yesterday afternoon, I actually had stuff in the bank, as it were, done. And I wasn't scrabbling around last night at 10 o'clock trying to come up with the review for the day, for example, which is a wonderful novel by Patrick E. McLean, The Merchant Adventurer, which is an older book, but one that is quite delightful. I still remember it quite fondly. At any rate, so yeah, yesterday was not the day I wanted it to be. But today's another day. My mantra comes to my rescue. Today is another day. And I can get back and try again today. I'm still trying to get the timekeeping thing operationalized. The alarm goes off every 30 minutes. But if I'm in the middle of something, I just reset the alarm and keep going. Which is a problem, because when the alarm goes off, what I need to do is stop and consider what I'm doing. And whether or not that's something that's important, urgent, or just a distraction. So that every 30 minutes is a new opportunity to get back on track. Every 30 minutes is a new chance to evaluate what I'm doing against criteria that are not what's in front of me. And that's the nature of the distraction. It's like, what's in front of me? I don't remember if I talked about markets yesterday. It's a topic that's still on my mind. I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about maybe I'm going to do a series about marketing for Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers. I also need to get my proposal together. I'm running out of time. Today is the, what is it, the 24th. And I do have at least until March. I think it may be till the end of March. But the competition in terms of the number of proposals that are going to be coming down the pike it's going to grow quickly as the deadline approaches. And I just as soon not have my proposal buried in that for the first cut. So I need to consider it. I know I talked about this yesterday, having a couple tiers of Amazon. Last year's Amazon workshop was an hour, and a lot of people didn't have any idea what I was talking about, because they didn't pay any attention at all to the Amazonian ecosystem. And many of them had never published a book before, which is something that I hadn't considered. So a lot of the stuff that I was talking about, like putting up an ebook onto KDP and whether or not to go into Select and all of that, was sort of it amounted to jargon that they didn't understand the meaning. They didn't know the meanings of the words. They sort of remember hearing them, but they don't exactly know what they mean. And people still ask, well, I want to sell my paperbacks at this convention, but my books are in Select. And that just sort of underscores the problem, because Select is about ebooks. You sell your paperbacks wherever you want. Ebooks are ebooks. They're digital. You can sell your ebooks at a convention, but it's difficult because of the infrastructure necessary to make an ebook viable at a convention. And what a lot of people do is take the book out of Select, put it up on Smashwords so they can get a coupon for it, and then put the coupon in a QR code and give away the QR codes, or sell the QR codes to individuals at conventions. And the reality is, people at a convention they're not gonna buy an ebook. I can't imagine the value of getting a book at a convention. Particularly the value of getting a book at a convention from the author is to get it autographed, to get it signed. And while it is possible to get a signed ebook, it's not exactly the same level of valued souvenir that one gets with an inscribed and autographed paperback. Here we go, eastern bound. It's still snowing. Gosh, it's snowing pretty heavy. Visibility is about half a mile. So, yeah, if I do a base camp, an Amazon base camp, and talk about how to do some basic layout stuff, how to get an ebook file in a format that is reliably translated once it's uploaded, There are so many people who just take their Word document and upload it to KDP, and it shows. And while a lot of people don't see it, a lot of people don't recognize that what they're doing, monk post, is not necessarily creating the most book-like reading experience for those who are reading via ebook. I need to check that because I need to see what those look like. But doing correct layout, it's easy to spot an amateur over and above the price point. Some traditional publishers are getting wise and putting books out, particularly promotionally priced books at $1.99, $2.99, even 99 cents. Now, $1.99 is newbieville. $1.99 is you don't understand what you're doing, or, because a lot of trads do it, you don't really care about the revenue. What you care is getting units sold so that you can maintain your hold on the intellectual property. And I see that all the time on BookBub, TradPubs. Particularly older backlist titles from names you'd recognize. They'll show up. Macmillan is really fond of doing this. They'll show up in a BookBub ad, and you look and see that, yeah, this book was originally released 6 years ago, so the 7-year contract is about to expire. But rather than let the book revert to the author, what they do is buy a BookBub because they don't care how much a BookBub costs, put it out at $1.99 because they don't care how much revenue they get. The point is to, in a certain sense, buy the rights for another period of time and prevent the rights reversion to the author and giving the book back. See, it's an interesting and highly esoteric issue. I was going somewhere with that. I know where it was. It was a layout. Now, I suppose I have to be a little bit careful of my criticism of newbie layouts when it comes to how ebooks are laid onto the digital page. I'm very fussy. I'm very specific. I use a Chicago Manual style layout guide. I abuse it a bit, but things like chapters always have to start at the top of the next page. Now, in strict CMOS, Chicago Manual style CMOS, chapters always start on the right. So they always start on odd-numbered pages. Because page one is on the right in a folio. Which means the page before it is unnumbered, in paperback anyway, is unnumbered and blank if there are no words on it. Managing the orphans, the sentences that get pushed to the next page with a word, a line or two, a line and a half, or just a few words. Those are called orphans. Because they're pushed ahead and left alone. There's nothing to go with them. And so, what that, if you have a big blank page after that, that's what causes orphans. You don't really have widows and orphans in ebooks that much, because even if you manage it with one font size, the reader has the opportunity to change the font size. So you have no control over whether or not a particular person with their particular reader settings will have widows and orphans. A widow is a paragraph where the first line of the paragraph is on one page, and the rest of the story takes off on the next page. I don't pay too much attention to widows, even in paperbacks, but I do pay attention to orphans. But in ebook, there are some things that actually translate over in meaningful ways. And one is how you start a new scene, or how you start a new chapter. So a new chapter should have a page break. So a chapter header should be at the top of the page. Now, whether it's, an inch down, or halfway down, or a third down, or near the top, or whatever, but when you flip the page and it starts a new chapter, the chapter should be at the top of the screen, regardless of how the reader has fiddled with the fonts. So even if they've made it bigger or smaller, flip the page, chapter header goes at the top of the page. There's nothing above the chapter header and the top of the screen except white space. That's how it works in paper. And so being able to replicate that experience in an ebook is, to me, that's important. Now, it could be I'm just being too much of a purist, I'm just being too much of a snob, but to me that's important. And there's an easy way to do it that works on every device, and that's to put each chapter in a separate file before you compile it for Amazon's use. There are ways to tell various Kindle applications and readers to do a page break. But historically, and I don't know, this may have changed. Historically, they weren't all reliable because they didn't all use the same technique. And then we have the first scene. The first scene should not be indented. The first line of the scene, first paragraph of a new chapter, first paragraph of a new scene, I almost fell, should not be indented. And more than that, if it starts with dialogue, it should start with the first letter of the dialogue, not with a quote, not with a little double quote mark, not with the opening quote sign. Because a lot of people use either a drop cap or a raised cap for the first letter of the first paragraph of a new chapter. Which is lovely. I mean, it's a terrific little visual. They tend to be a little bit awkward in ebooks because you don't have as fine a control over kerning, how that letter actually appears on the page. They do work. I don't like them because I think they're distracting. I don't want people to pay attention to the chapter break. I want it to register, but I don't want them to be looking at it. I want them to be reading the story. So that's a style decision. But not indenting the first paragraph, while it's a style decision, it's also how you can make your work look more professional, because that's how the pros do it, without incurring a lot of overhead. But I'm at back gate. Tomorrow's another day. With any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.